Welcome to Live from HCIC 2023, a podcast series bringing you front row insights from the industry's brightest minds. In this 12-part series, we delve into the heart of the trends impacting health systems with leading experts, senior executives, and thought leaders, as recorded live at the Healthcare Internet Conference in November of 2023. This series is brought to you by Greystone, Bowstring Media, and Touchpoint Media. Listen in as we hear from our industry leaders on the latest innovative strategies and efforts that are shaping our space. Hi, we're recording here live at the HCIC Expo Hall, so don't mind the background noise, but I am here with a dear friend of mine, Martha Van Berkel. Martha, it's so great to see you in person. I've known you for a number of years, but to meet in person, this is our second time, and it's
awesome.
Before we get started in today's conversation, love for you to share with people that are watching or listening in a little bit about who you are. Share them a little bit about yourself and schemaapp.org.
Sure. So my name is Martha Van Berkel. I'm the CEO and co-founder at Schema App. I grew up in enterprise, though, so I understand like big companies, slow IT, all those challenges. I grew up at Cisco. I spent 14 years there. I am Canadian, so you'll hear me say "Hey, I love my poutine." I'm an LA Kings hockey fan, so you can imagine how much fun it is that there's a Gretzky statue just like across the way. And I run this company called Schema App, and we specialize in translating web content to be understood by search engines. And holy smokes, like with all this AI stuff, the work we do is like even more relevant. And so it's really just exciting to be able to share sort of what's happening across the board and sort of how you stay relevant in this like changing landscape.
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? I mean, as I thought about, you know, this with the introduction of these open platforms like ChatGPT and Bard and other things that it's going to dynamically shift the way we actually search for things. And the implications of that on SEO are significant and profound. And I know you're the expert on SEO. Talked with you about it before in the past.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, maybe share a little bit about Schema and how that plays its role in SEO. But then let's bridge the gap to how does this work with generative AI solutions?
Yeah, and like how do you need to think about this as a strategy versus like a tactic? Okay. So I think that's like a big kind of change that's happened like just in the last couple months. So when we talk about the word schema or schema markup, it's basically like data that you put on your site that literally says like what is this page about and how is it related to other things on that website or sort of in the world. And why it's relevant is it's actually like how you just like translate someone something from English to Spanish or English to French. You're actually like truly explaining or translating for machines. So this is a vocabulary that Google, Yahoo, and Bing came up with like in 2011. So it's like not new, but it's actually a dictionary of all the things they want to know about physicians, what they want to know about your like medical procedures, about like content, about anything.
Right.
And what's cool about it is it's also this, like, I talk about like a marketing data layer or a control point for you to make sure that they understand the context of your content. So like no one questions like investing in content, no one, you know, questions investing in like physician profiles, but like in this new world, if you haven't translated it to be understood by the machines, not just the humans, but by the machines, then you're just like not ready.
Right. Well, you're flying. Let's say you're not optimized to the best you can be.
Absolutely.
Right?
Like you're missing this whole channel. Yeah. And it's like, and it's a significant channel, right? Because like today, like we think of SEO as like, oh, how do I optimize for Google?
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe like that's going to become so fractured because as long as large language models or, you know, an application has access to that data, which by the way, they do because like they're scraping your website or they're reading your schema markup, all these different things are going to try to like be that digital front door. So your
right.
digital front door isn't just your website anymore. And I would say it's not going to just be Google. It's going to be Bing. It's going to be like, you know, name, you know, startup 160, right?
Right.
That's going to be like wanting to own that interaction between you.
Siri, Alexa, all of these things suddenly now are ways that people could start to access your content. You have to be really hyper-focused on making that content understandable by all these different machines.
Yeah.
So you mentioned large learning models, right?
Yeah.
Which is a very important part of all of these generative AI solutions.
That's right.
Talk a little bit about large learning models and how they interface with Schema.
Sure.
You know, how does that work?
So let me break it down into a couple pieces to where I get to that punchline.
Okay.
So when you optimize a web page with schema markup, you're explaining, let's talk about a physician, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm saying like, it's a physician, this is their name, this is their description, this is where they graduated from medical school, these are the services they provide, this is their specialty, this is their rating, right? So I've explained what those things are. But I actually want to also then connect that to the overall site. And so ideally, if when I'm talking about the medical specialty it has, I'm actually like defining that with, let's say, Wikipedia or the specialty page that you have on your website. You know, if I'm explaining, you know, this is the hospitals they work at, I want to make sure that we're actually like connecting the dots to say, oh, this is a physician. And by the way, the hospital that it works at is described on this page. So you notice that I'm not just talking about optimizing one page. I'm saying, how is that page then connected? When you connect those dots, right, mm-hmm. you can then answer questions like, I have breast pain and I want to see a female physician who has an appointment on Tuesday, November, whatever. You know, who should I go see?
Right. And this is through schema. You can start to associate these connections.
Exactly. So I know what the physician is. Yeah. I know what their language is. I know what services is. Oh, and I know what hospital they work at. And I know where that location is based on your location. Therefore, I'm going to then send you to, you know, Dr. Patel, who works for, you know, X hospital, et cetera. So the reason I explain that is that when you do those connections, you're actually building something called a knowledge graph.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledge graphs are basically, you know, where you're defining with a common vocabulary, which is schema.org, this vocabulary mm-hmm. created by the search engines, and with what the relationships are amongst many things.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can do that, you can start to infer things or figure things out. Well, guess what? That's what large language models do.
It's exactly what large language models do.
So, but large language models have hallucinations and don't have data to be trained.
They try to guess these connections.
Right. So when you match a large language model with a knowledge graph, you actually reduce the risk of hallucinations because it can query all these connections to make correct inferences. So there's some really cool papers written about like how large language models and knowledge graphs are an ideal situation because they actually are the best of both worlds. They're like the large language models inferencing without all the hallucinations.
Yeah, you're basically using schema to educate these open platforms, their large learning models, on the right data.
And reducing your risk of getting the wrong answer to your consumer, which like then has other implications, right?
Now, suddenly you open up your door to all of these generative solutions that they're introducing, like Bard, that now I have permanently used whenever I'm using Google. I have Bard running, right? And I'm interested to see their results compared to my Google results. And now ChatGPT, it being integrated into Bing, and all of it, we're going to start to see now searching changing.
Well, and I always like to think about like what's the motivation of the search engines, mm-hmm. right? Like, so like that, this is like how we can reduce risk, how we can make sure we're understood. Well, the search engines, like their biggest cost is around indexing and crawling data. And their biggest risk is that they get the answer wrong and then someone doesn't click through or they lose that like user's engagement and then don't make paid ad dollars, right? Visible paid ad dollars. So this is a win-win. Like building your knowledge graph helps search engines more easily access your information and it helps you reduce risk. And there's been lots of, I would say, confirmations like by Google, whether it be in their search update in October, or someone actually mentioned to me this morning that one of their spokespeople at Brighton SEO conference that also happened in September, they're saying like, do schema markup to help your content be understood, find a solution that allows you to be agile with it because it's going to be changing quickly. And most importantly, also that it's like truly helps them do their job better.
Right.
But good news for me, like my company does schema markup at scale, right? But like we're seeing this and it's, you know, I spoke at a conference in September where I got to spend some time with the program manager for the new Bing. His name's Fabrice Canal. And after my presentation, he was like, you get it. And I was talking about how do we help enterprises build this marketing data layer using schema markup. So all of a sudden, we talked about this being SEO. This is much bigger than SEO,
right?
Like this is your AI marketing strategy, because once you do this for SEO, good news, like you also then can reuse that knowledge graph to train your large language models or to be sort of like the primary way that you're grounding whatever service is interacting with you.
Right.
So it's a really cool way for like, I'll say strategic you know, leaders to kind of say, hey, I'm solving the AI problem while getting wins and clicks and sort of tactical work done in SEO at the same time.
Right. And, you know, I know that this is a lot of like, this is how the sausage is being made. We're talking about what's going on behind the scenes, because not many people see this when they're interacting with this.
Yeah.
But as you're describing this, it really does feel now SEO, which used to be a tactic, is now through schema, you're developing a strategy. It's almost like a discovery strategy. I'm not sure. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, I like the discovery strategy. I might adopt that.
Yeah, because it's like what you're doing is you're now saying there's going to be so many entrants into how people can find information about you. You want to be authoritative. You still want to have the right content. You want the right inferences, the right intent implied, and you don't want it to be made up. Using schema can supercharge all of that.
Yeah, I really think we have to think of like our website as a container of data in this new world. So like while we think of it today and we like take meticulous time to make sure like the images are on brand and like the buttons are in the right place, I really do think that's going to change.
Yeah.
I do think that there's going to be, you know, the engagement and the discovery is going to happen in, you know, whether that be ChatGPT, like it's such a great example. Like you can see how you're asking all those questions. Yes, Bing does a good job like giving you a link at the end, but like what happens when like the link isn't there and they're just like, do you want to book an appointment? And it's then just connecting to your booking API.
Right.
Like this whole zero click search, which is like, oh no, like I'm not going to actually get the click. I'm talking about like bookings without people visiting your website.
Yeah.
So like, what are you doing to be prepared for that?
Yeah, I know. I mean, I think as you think about this, my mind is racing in so many different ways because the implication is significant. You mentioned a couple of use cases, right? I think, and you've been presenting here at HCIC.
That's right, yeah.
About some of these use cases. Let's walk through that. Booking a doctor's appointment is probably one of the most important ones that you can get right.
Yeah.
And even at the last conference, I heard someone say, everybody's talking about AI, but no one's really solving the problem about booking appointments, which is really the inherent challenge. Here, it sounds like you could do both at the same time.
Well, right. And I think we have to walk before we run, right? Okay. Like AI is happening and there's disruptions happening with like SGE and ChatGPT and so forth. And like Google search is still Google search, right? We have to understand though that like under the covers of Google search, no matter what that in piece that like interface is, like there is lots of innovation in AI happening. And so I think when we think about booking a doctor, it's a question of like, you know, when people are asking the question, right? Like, so this is like the walk piece is like, as consumers, like I expect to be able to ask a very specific question and get an answer. And so like we can still think in like terms of SEO and stuff today, right? Like, so how do we make sure that's really working and that the great investment you've made in those physician profile pages, like that's converting for you, right? So that's, I think, as like, you know, SEO as a tactic, like schema markup, like it's a tactic to help solve that problem. And then if you really then, once you nail that first piece, if you're then making sure you're asking the question to say, well, how am I starting to build the knowledge graph off of that? So I'm not just thinking of the tactic, I'm using that as a foundation or a stepping stone to kind of also future-proof. Like you can do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And then that way you're not sort of saying, oh, I'm going to do this and hope to goodness, like when I get four stages of the future state that it's work. But like this is something you can do, measure it, and sort of be building and future-proofing at the same time. And I think there's very few things that like you can do today that like that kind of like have both those value props.
Yeah, that are extensible in this particular
way. And
who doesn't like that, right? I mean, you're doing something to solve today's problem, but you're also future-proofing yourself for the future problem.
And by the way, Chris, like I'm pitching stuff that I pitched in 2014 called semantic search marketing that no one cared about back then. It's the same stuff, right? It just like has this very important sort of like timeliness now. So, and I share that because like this isn't like a brand new, oh, I really hope this works, or like this is like new tech that's like really out there. Like this has been around for a long time.
Right.
It just like is now they're talking about it. Google is specifically talking and Bing about it, saying, oh yes, like by the way, all of our tech is built on this.
And that's really, I mean, that really shows what you're kind of illustrating here is like even this, the fanciness of like AI and Bard and all this stuff, it really is just they're building on this whole concept of making information easier to find and easier to answer the questions that people are looking for.
Yeah.
So we talked about find a doctor. What other use cases are you seeing with hospitals you're working with?
Oh, good question. I think that the thing that I'm seeing the most is like the need for, and this is again like a kind of tactic of SEO that becomes more strategic, yeah. where like most pages, like you're not thinking about kind of making those links to the other things on the page. So, you know, an SEO will say, oh, I want to see like interlinking within the site. So we'll use the physician as the example. Yeah. Like, I want to know, like, what are the like actual service lines that they work in?
Yeah.
Right.
Or procedures
or so forth. Or
things that they do.
And so I want to know, like, not just list them. I want to say, like, where on the website are you talking specifically about that?
Yeah.
Or like with the hospitals, like the hospital pages, like I need context. Like I want that on the page. And the reason why it's so important, like these are small things. So I want to see like links to these other pages. Oh, and by the way, I want to see like one page that talks specifically about that.
Right.
And why is that? If you have five pages that talk about orthopedics, if Google's trying to figure out, or the machine's trying to figure out, like, which page on your site am I supposed to point people
yeah.
for orthopedics, it has no idea which one to use.
Right.
So, like, specificity in sort of, like, having one page that's, like, talking in detail and then making sure that page is then connected to the related information.
Right.
And then you use schema markup, and there's these things called properties in it. So if I'm, like, saying that this is the physician, I'm saying, like, you know, they, I actually remember the specific property, but like, this is like where they practice at, right?
Right.
And then it's like links to the hospital page.
Or this is the department at this particular hospital. And that may be different than orthopedics across the entire service
lot,
or across the entire health system.
So like, that's just because the content is there.
Yeah.
The context isn't there.
Right.
And context was like a really big theme. And so Carolina Anthony from Advent Health and I presented together. And like, context is also when she's talking about like the website and the digital front door, the context of your user, the context of like who's interacting with you. It's much deeper than just like demographics, right?
Right.
There's like context of who they are, where they're at in their health journey, you know, what kind of questions they're asking. This is the same sort of in your content.
Right. And I could see the application even going further. Like if you're in an academic medical center and you have clinical trials that you want to associate
yes.
with that provider, or you have their, maybe they're also head of an academic department.
Research papers,
all the, there's so many things you can use this underlying schema to associate with. And then when you're like, you know, the user saying, oh, I'm wondering who's recently done a clinical study on this particular procedure in orthopedic patients and their knees or what have you.
Suddenly, boom, it connects the dots.
And it's connecting the right information.
That's
there.
Right.
And now you don't have to worry about hallucinations and getting the right information here.
Yeah.
I would imagine that the reception of this has been a little bit, you mentioned this, this has been around for 10 years, right? This concept
yeah.
of, this concept, but.
People are learning about it for the first time.
Like right now.
Right now.
What do you attribute to that? Why is that happening now? Is it because of ChatGPT?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Like, I think, I always wonder, like, why did Google, Yahoo, and Bing in 2011 invest the time to sit around a table and basically define a dictionary?
Yeah.
Right? And actually, if you look at evidence on, like, things that Google's announced, like, in 2015, it was rank math. And then, like, there's this thing called BERT that's about, like, understanding meaning. And now they're talking about neurolinguistics, right? So, like, all these, you know, in my world, it's all the, like, you know, these algorithm changes and updates. Mm-hmm. They've all kind of been leading to this. And I think it hasn't been as disruptive as ChatGPT. Like, my mother, who's in her 70s, is like, what's ChatGPT, right? It's
yeah.
like the question
yeah.
that comes up. And of course, my husband and I are like, okay, let's sit down, Mom. We're going to like actually get you to use it. And so you can kind of like experience this piece. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, this is really interesting. Like, so now I don't Google it. Like, I ChatGPT it. And we're like, well, no, it's like conversational and it can go
right.
do research for you. And, you know, it can like find you, you know, like interesting things. You can ask it questions. And, you know, my son, we always like anonymize my son's interactions with it. But like, he was like, what money can I make when I'm a 13-year-old who likes soccer, math, and reading, right? It's like,
wow.
you know, and it's
yeah.
giving him ideas of like, oh, I could be a, you know, soccer referee. So I think it's like much broader in the consumer world. So while we knew we should do it for business, mm-hmm. like all the consumers now want it. And so especially in healthcare, where the consumers are the people we're trying to be of service to, like they're leaning in and changing their
right.
behaviors. And so like, we have no choice now,
yeah.
you know, as organizations to say like, oh my goodness, like this is happening and they're adopting it. How do I be relevant there?
Yeah, toothpaste is out of the tube on this one, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, their expectations are already evolving and changing.
Yeah.
Yeah, my mother doesn't really Google a lot. She does sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, she
was using social media, was using Facebook to find things, right? I showed her ChatGPT. She loves it now. She's like, you know, she's just using it to do like her own personal research.
Yeah.
It's only a matter of time for her to say, oh, now I have to go see this procedure. What's the right way to, for me, like, you know, and really start to use it for practical applications. I'm using it now to kind of connect to what are the best restaurants in Los Angeles while we're here at HCIC, you know, but it's just a matter of time.
Well, and then you think about who the disruptors are in healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? Amazon, Walmart, right? Google. Like, these are innovators who move quickly. I frankly sometimes think they make their own rules, right? And how they operate. Like, if you're thinking like, oh, I'm going to wait to see what happens, like, they're going to eat your lunch. Like, the consumers are going there to buy their eggs and milk.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if they have something urgent, they're going to do it there. Like, I don't know about you, but, like, I don't go to 5 grocery shops, like, to buy my groceries. Like, if it's there, I'm going to, even if it's a dollar more, I'm like, I'm going to, because, like, I need the convenience of it to help me, like, do the things I need to get done. And so I think there's those disruptors in the healthcare kind of, I'll say, landscape should also create urgency for organizations to be, like, really thinking about future-proofing and not hoping to goodness that, like, the practices they've been doing for the last 50 years are going to work.
And Skiba is way to future-proof.
Absolutely.
I mean, well, that's awesome. Martha, always fun to sit down and talk to you about this. Thank you for going in and getting a little, taking something a little technical and making it, you know, clear for people, chief marketing officers and, you know, people that are leading marketing departments that may or not be too technical listening in. I think they have some great tips for them to start to look at.
Yeah, we can take control. Like, it doesn't have to be scary. Right?
Exactly. I love that. Thanks so much
for your time.
Thank you for watching live from HCIC 2023. We hope these insights have sparked new ideas and conversations. A special thanks to the industry experts featured on our show and to Greystone, Bowstring Media, and Touchpoint Media for making these discussions available. For more episodes and exclusive content, please visit greystone.net, touchpoint.health, or subscribe through your favorite podcast listening platform. If you want to be part of more conversations like this one, please make sure to attend the Healthcare Internet Conference in Austin, Texas. You can find more details at hcic.net.